ready for this? I think I'm ready for this. Hey, all you fuck-gargling carpet whores! I'm Alex Renard, and it's time for me to answer the questions that you ask that I asked you to ask me! Or something. A week ago, here on Ink Bunny, I posted a journal asking you all to send me in questions of interesting varieties that I would then answer here on camera. Well, technically it's a camera since I'm using my webcam for it. I did this one before on for Affinity, but I'm not at for Affinity anymore because I realized that their administration is being run by mutant crab people. Joining me tonight is my friend Robbie Rourke, a.k.a. Poe the Ether Bunny, who will be asking the questions. Now, everything Robbie says has been pre-recorded, isn't that right?
Yes, pre-recorded like tomorrow newspapers. Wait, does anyone remember that movie?
No.
Ah, I thought so. See, GoldenEye might have made an awesome game, but Tomorrow Never Dies was, well, yeah.
Well, anyway, I wanted to ask the first question.
Thank you, I cut it myself. Think I'll start asking those questions now.
Thanks a million, Robbie. Joining me also will be my constant co-host, Dr. Pepper. A few people have said that they don't like me drinking Dr. Pepper in the middle of answering questions, and those people can go away because all good, kind, right-thinking people in the world love Dr. Pepper, and only wicked, cruel, bastard people don't like Dr. Pepper. Anyway, starting off, our first questioner is Humbug, who asks,
how is Babby formed? How girl become pregnant?
Now that is a toughie. Suppose I'd have to say, they need to do way in stain mother, who kill their babbies, because these babbies can't frick back. It was on the news this morning, a mother in R who had killed her three kids. They are taking the three babby back to New York, two lady to rest. My Perry are with the father who lost his trilden. I am truly sorry for your lots. Next up is Blackpaw.
Sleep-deprived random question mode, goo!
Why?
Guns! No one's gonna get that. There's a guy on YouTube called Thu who reviews Transformers. It's an obscure reference to one of his videos.
Why anything?
Why not?
What happened to three?
It was eaten by elves.
Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go?
Bismillah, no. I will not let you go.
How will the world end?
If we ever get a female president.
Would you ever consider fucking a speaking spell?
No. No. 1,000 times no.
Magnets. How the fuck do they work?
Well, you see, inside every magnet at one pole, there is a lump of gold, and at the opposite pole, there is a tiny Jew. And this joke has already gone on too long.
Do you wish you had Jesse's girl?
No, because, she has syphilis. Scrolling down, let's get to the next, let's see who asked the next question. Okay, that would be El Matto, who asks,
gadget scat porn. Any pics in the works?
Well, nothing really in the works, because I tend to be really procrastinating, in between drawing pictures, but when I actually start on one, it's like sketch, ink, color, done. So nothing technically in the works, but it's, you know, I like poop, and I like gadget, so it's pretty inevitable that, I'll end up, drawing some in the future at some point. Next question is from Mako Gray.
Are you going to AC this year?
No, our air conditioner is too heavy to put in the window. Ha ha ha, that's not what you're asking. I would dearly love to be able to go to Anthrocon this year. I've missed it the last couple of years, which is really sad, because the times that I have gone, I've really loved it. But it really comes down to a matter of money. I took a trip to Canada earlier this season to visit my friends Raleigh and Robbie and Ron, because apparently all Canadians are all have R names. And the trip was fabulous, had a lot of fun up there, and spent more money than I thought possible, mostly on food. Yeah, going out to eat every single day for over 2 weeks will drain your wallet. That and Transformers Dark of the Moon is about to come out, which means that there's the new movie toys, which, yeah, the movie can suck all as much as it feels like. The toys so far have been fucking excellent, and I've been buying the hell out of those, so... Unfortunately, yeah, collusion of factors, no money for AC. I really, really, really want to go next year, though.
Any new stories series in the works?
That's from Prism T. Kitsune, by the way. Any new story series in the works? There's stories in the works. There's nothing that from, like, an ongoing... Well, okay, actually, no, there is. I do have one right now that's a Justin and Lena story from Down the Dumps. And that's written. I'm just waiting, to proofread it. Dr. Pepper. I found that if I write a story and then edit and proofread it and whatnot, and then I wait a while, like a few weeks or a month, and then go back to it, I've got a fresh perspective. So I'll notice a whole lot of errors and stuff and stylistic stuff I want to change this time around. So that'll be coming up pretty soon. And there's other stories in the works. It's just, I don't want to say too much about them because I have no idea if any of them will ever get finished. A lot of them are just sort of in the planning stages.
Any new stuff from my favorite absolutely adorable bat, Bartleby?
Nothing Bartleby related in the works right now, although I'll probably be writing Bartleby stories forever. Hell is just so freaking vast, and the characters are so well developed. It's like, I could just start out writing a Bartleby story with no intention and then have something interesting happen to them.
Can't you be God? You do such a better job. Shame the whole Bruce Almighty thing never really happens, so far as we know.
Why can't I be God? Who says I'm not? That's kind of half joking and half serious. Since there is no God, I say, why can't we be gods if we choose to? Not, you know, necessarily God in the omnipotent sense, but just God as in, you know, I am the master of my own destiny. I decide for myself, you know. I am the god of my own destiny. I think that there's no reason why everyone can't be a god if they so choose to be. If they have the balls to choose and the guts to hold on to that choice. I was going to say something else about that. Yeah. I have the power to type words on my keyboard and then make someone in an entirely different country weep. Who's to say that's not godly?
What is your favorite color?
Electric blue.
What is the meaning of life? Waits with an ejector button to imitate the very well-known skit from a well-known comedy. And that's all I can think of.
What's the meaning of life? I've already answered this one and the other one. It's really simple. Three things in order of priority. One, to learn. Two, to do good. Three, to have fun. Okay, who's up next? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, it's Joshy the Draco.
What do you think about zoo files? Why...
Let's go back a little on that one. I think it's technically pronounced zoophiles, because I think that's the correct pronunciation of the prefix. Like, for instance, it's a zoo is technically a zoological park, and we pronounce it zoo because it gets shortened to the first three letters. But that's semantics. The question is, what do I think about them? And the answer is, I really don't have much of an opinion. It's not a subject that it seems pretty damn simple to me, really. Someone else put it better than I could when they said that if you're doing something to an animal that the animal doesn't like, the animal has various ways of letting you know they don't like it. You know, as in claws, teeth, powerful back legs, antlers, hooves, whatever. For the most part, yeah, if an animal doesn't like what you're doing, they will fuck up your dick. Or pussy. I know there's female zoophiles. Oh god, isn't the mental image of some woman getting kicked in the cunt by a horse. Moving on. But aside from that, there's also the fact that animals don't have the same ingrown sexual taboos that we do. They haven't been raised to think that their own sexuality is dirty and awful, and that their bodies are hideous and need to be covered with cloth all the time, and that they're indecent and that type of shit. They just know, hey, there's something touching my dick, that feels good. You know, or, hey, there's something touching my dick, that feels weird, I stop that now. You know, it's all about, you know, the sensation. Do I enjoy this? Okay. Do I not enjoy this? Okay. So they don't have that whole bullshit fed into their head, which means you can't apply the same kinds of sexual morality to them. In general, I think that if somebody's doing something in the privacy of their own home that is hurting no one, and it doesn't matter if I'm personally disgusted by it, I don't have the right to tell them no. And I think this applies to everything. Personal disgust is not and is never a reason for someone to take something away from something else that they enjoy. Next question.
What do you think about zoophiles?
I already asked that.
Why didn't you discuss on my journal? I guess you didn't see it or didn't have anything additional to say.
And you pretty much answered your own question there. I read a lot of journals. I can't remember yours in particular. So I either didn't see it, or if I did see it, I couldn't think of anything to say about it.
What was in the message you send to Dragoneer?
Ah, now that's a question. Need some Dr. Pepper for this. A little while ago on FurAffinity, my relationship with that site came to an abrupt end. I had some art of mine removed for what I believe to be completely fallacious reasons. I complained about it, and probably did something I shouldn't have, and they came down hard on me, and afterwards I made a journal discussing what had happened, and yes, I was highly critical of the administrative staff, but I tried to refrain from actual, you know, insults, I tried to refrain from vulgarity. What I wrote in that journal was far, far less, you know, fire and brimstone than other things I've written. And they're just like, we don't like you criticizing us anymore. Boom. You know, you're banned. Except they didn't ban me, they suspended me. Temporarily. For 10 years. Cheap. So, the more I thought about this, the more I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just, Wolfblade talked to me and said, look, you're frustrated. Leave. You know, I've been telling you to leave for a long time now. You don't like it there. And I finally caved in and was like, you know, yeah, he's right. I'm not having fun with this site anymore. I stay for the porn, and I stay for the people there who are my fan base. But I don't like the site anymore, and I don't like being there, and I don't like the constant frustration of being at odds with the admins and other users there. So, in Letter Dragoneer, the first thing I said was, you know, hi there, I am not asking you to let me return to FurAffinity. What I asked, you know, and a lot of people said don't even bother asking, but I'm like, no, I want to try the peaceful diplomatic, you know, solution first. I asked, I'd like to be able to have, like, a small window to get into my account and basically tidy stuff up. I want to save a few more submissions. I want to get a copy and paste the content of a private message that I was having with somebody at the time. I wanted to post a last journal saying, hi, you know, I'm leaving. It's permanent, you know, to all my watchers, this is it. This is it. Because my last journal right now is just a bunch of, you know, goofy little jokes and whatnot, which is fine, but it's not a fitting ending, you know? It feels like it was mid-season and they canceled the TV series and, you know, the final episode ends up being the, you know, just some goofy shit they shout out. So I really would prefer a more fitting ending and one that also let my watchers know, yeah, it's over. And I told Dragonair, it's like, this is a chance for me to be gone, which is what we both want, and for neither of us to look like the villain. You know, I tell them I'm leaving because I want to, and, you know, I, you know, don't badmouth you in it. You know, I, in fact, you know, say, hey, you know, you are cool and let me do this. But that was 2 weeks ago, and Dragonair, despite knowing that I am trying to contact him, he hasn't replied back. So maybe it's possible my email got lost in the shuffle of his, you know, maybe it got ended up in his junk filter or something like that. Or maybe he's just not answering because he can't make a decision. And if so, I'll screw up.
How can I improve my Let's Plays on YouTube?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about uploading stuff on YouTube. I don't know hardly anything about video games. This is like asking me about automotive repair.
Would you date me? In brackets, male.
I don't know. If I say no, it's because you're a human, and I don't... Yeah, I tried dating humans. Didn't really work, so... It's not you, honey, it's me. Up next, Omni87 asks...
If you had the opportunity to kill some random person you don't know without any repercussions, you don't get arrested, shunned, punished, etc., would you do it? And if you would, how would you kill them?
That is a hell of a question, although I have to give an automatic no to it, because, if you had the opportunity to kill some random person, random, that is the word that changes all of this, because, fucking first rule, you don't hurt innocents. If it's a random person, it's somebody who hasn't fucked with me. Now, if the question was, if you had the opportunity to kill somebody who had personally harmed you, then the answer is, I don't know. It would depend on who that person is, how they'd hurt me, you know, if it was still fresh in my mind and I was still furious at them. I don't know. You know, honestly, I don't know. I think, though, that more likely, if I had the opportunity, I would let them know that I had that choice. You know, I'd have them tied up in front of me, and I'd say, you know what? Right now, I could kill you and not face any consequences whatsoever. I would get away scot-free. I could do that. But you know what? I don't think I will. I think I'll just let you go, knowing that every second from now, every breath you take, is due to me making this choice. Your life is purely because of my whim. And just let them go, and just let that mind screw just fester around in their head for a while. Okie doke, Alfredo's got some questions now.
Are you ever going to draw Bartleby and Lexi diapered at the Abyssal Nursery?
That's not a bad idea. I'll add that to my idea pile.
Ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yes.
Have you read a significant amount of Homestuck yet?
I really should have, but no. I am a fanatical completist. I've told Alfador this, but I don't know if anyone else knows. I really have a really hard time starting a story if I know it's not finished. I know that Homestuck is still going, and that's really what's the biggest thing keeping me from reading it. Also the fact that I know it's gargantuan and I have to devote pretty much an entire afternoon. And that's another thing, too. If I start reading it, I'll keep reading it, and probably keep reading it until it's like fucking 8 o'clock in the morning, and my eyelids are moving involuntarily, and I feel all woozy and shit, and it just... I want to, though, because Problem Sleuth is great. It'll happen eventually. It'll happen eventually.
Do you plan to write a story centered around incest as the primary non-normality, as opposed to families such as Xander and his mom and dad, where the incest is not central to the story, or Jason's new home, where the cubs are all adopted so it's not incest in the traditional sense?
That's a hell of an interesting question. I don't know. Incest is not a fetish that I put a lot of thought into. Usually it's something that just sort of happens in my stories. And I was about to say, well, there's Justin and Lena, but then it's like, well, that's not technically incest either, because they're adopted as well. It's mostly just that I haven't had a reason to yet. I'm not against the idea of doing some hot, yiffy, you know, furry incest. I haven't had a story idea come along that, you know, would incorporate that. If I did, I would. So, just hasn't happened yet.
Next time you visit, would you like to pick up some supplies at Beecher's and attempt to make a poutine?
Oh my god, yes! For those of you in North America that is not Canada, Canadians eat something called poutine. Now, poutine is not only an inherently funny word, but it is fucking delicious. It's simple as hell. It's French fries with cheese curds dumped on top, and then gravy. Some of you are going, ew, you are fools. You know, you like mashed potatoes with gravy, same fucking thing. And when I say cheese curds, it's like, I'm thinking mozzarella, maybe? So it's like, yeah, little chunks of mozzarella-ish cheese with the gravy dribble over that, and then the gravy melts the cheese and it gets all gooey, and oh my god. And Beecher's is a cheese shop in Seattle that makes the best cheese curds on earth. So yeah, that would probably be the type of poutine that would, like, give me a 4-hour erection.
I just thought of a much better question than my throwaway second one. If it's possible to retroactively replace, here's my new number 2. Double pun intended. Should we start using pus as a swear word? I mean, existing swear words refer to disgusting bodily functions that feel good. Piss, shit, fuck. All those refer to excreting or having sex. Bodily functions that feel very good despite often being disgusting. Pus is another disgusting bodily fluid, but it's much better suited to being used as profanity because it's the result of an infection, often an infected wound, and so has much more negative feelings associated with it. I ask primarily because I have already started doing so, to the great revulsion of some of the people around me, which I find alternately embarrassing and hilarious.
And hilarious it is. I think this is my favorite question of the bunch, because it is a great idea. The first time I read this question, I usually read the questions as I get them, and then, like, not read them again. I actually have, like, I actually recorded this whole damn thing earlier, and then Robbie sent me and him the audio file of him asking me questions, which I thought he wasn't going to be able to do, because his roommate was hanging around, and it's like, oh, shit. He did such a good job on this. Fuck it, I'm recording it again. It took too long last night anyway. I was sleepy and my answers were like, Anyway, pus. So, I forget where I was going with that, but yeah, it's the idea of using pus as a swear word is absolutely great. And yeah, when I first read the question, the phrase that leapt into my mind was, fuck some pus. Which is just that is a god-tier sentence. Fuck some pus! God, I want to say that to people now. I really, really want to say that to people now. Okay, our next questioner is Black Raven 2.
Why is the audio quality in your recently answered question so bad?
Because I'm using a dinky little Rocketfish webcam, and I have to, like, hold it, like, really up to my mouth to get words and stuff, and it's just kind of a piece of shit. But my friend Zephin said that he got a new headset, and it's only, like, $25, and it's like, shit, that's in my price range. So, maybe I'll buy that. And hopefully, like, the next one will be better.
What is your current plan to bring down FA and get all the users to join IB?
You know what? I was going to give some, like, you know, silly, goofy answer, but, and honestly, I don't really have to do shit. FurAffinity is doing plenty to drive its users away. And the ones that it's not driving away are the people that Ink Bunny doesn't want. You know, and trust me on that. The people who think that FurAffinity is doing a great job are either people who are naive, or people who stay under the radar so much that, you know, the admins don't notice them, or they're the people who are actively trolling and love the fact that the admins don't do anything about it. So, yeah, FurAffinity, by being itself, and by having the policies that they have, and having the attitude that they have towards their user base, is doing more to drive people to Ink Bunny than I ever could. So I'm just, you know, spreading the word that they are.
How exactly will that help in your quest for world domination?
Well, fucking duh! Whoever controls the furry porn sites controls the world! Guy!
Why is a mouse who is slowly disemboweling herself in front of a fox so sexy?
I don't know, but it is. Oh god, I have to think about that and fap for about 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm picturing it. In serious answer, though, I would say that it's probably the whole, like, I like porn that's, like, really, really unexpected, that takes expected, you know, character roles and reverses them. And in this case, it's the prey not only submitting to the predator and gleefully, willingly doing so, but even going the extra step further and helping to, you know, like, already prepare herself, you know. It just in general, characters just gleefully, willingly, happily doing, you know, things that would be horrifying in real life. I really like that. I like how in fiction you can just say fuck you to reality and pain and permanence and just, yeah, if I feel like disemboweling myself, zoop, I can, because it's fiction. Badass.
I assume you read my story, Circle of Life. Would you give up your ability to talk and your hands in exchange for eternal life?
I'm sorry, I haven't read your story yet. I keep meaning to. I was gonna read it last night, but I was, like, super fucking sleepy by the time I crawled into bed, and it was just like, oh, I probably should read this. I should just, like, snore for the next 5 minutes and just annoy the hell out of you people. but no, I haven't read it yet. I do want to, though. I'll read it eventually, I promise. I did skim over it briefly, and I think what he's asking is, you know, I think by, you know, lose your ability to talk and your hands, I mean, like, turning into a non-anthro animal. And the answer is yes, for fuck's sakes. Do almost anything for eternal life. It's eternal life! Fuck yeah! And besides, too, if I'm, like, you know, a non-anthro animal, you know, and I've got my own, like, normal intelligence, actually, that begs this question. Can I not speak because I don't have human vocal cords, or can I not speak because I no longer have the cognitive capacity to? That is, you know, if it's just that I lack human vocal cords, fuck, I'll find a way around that. I'll find some way of using my paws like hands. But if it's because I lack the cognitive capacity to speak, then no. Yeah, eternal life is nothing if I don't have my intelligence, if I don't have the capacity to enjoy it. Okie doke. Next questionnaire is Diego, or Diago. Not entirely sure. We'll see.
I have only one question. What was in your final FA journal, the one that got you banned?
Criticism of the admins, you'll see yourself. I'm going to post it pretty soon. I'm tired of waiting under Agnir for an answer, so it's like, yeah. I'm going to repost it here. You guys can read it. You can judge for yourselves whether I went too far. And, yeah, we'll see what happens then. The next questioner is Alex Renard. immediately beneath Spearwolf says, asking yourself questions is cheating, to which I say, so? I can get away with it. I'm the one doing this.
How do you type with boxing gloves on?
Like this.
What's the most effective osteoporosis treatment for lesbians?
That would be lesbone.
What is the opposite of an anesthesiologist?
There actually is no answer to this one. I just asked it because I love the fact that only I will get that reference. Literally. None of you will get that reference. And I'm not going to tell you either. I'm not even going to tell you how. I'm just going to torture you with that.
How can you have your pudding if you won't eat your meat?
You steal it from the pudding store. You become a pudding thief.
Is there anything in the world funnier than a 3-year-old asking mommy what a cum dumpster is?
Probably not. Next up is Poe the Ether Bunny himself asking me all sorts of questions. Go, Poe.
What is the empty area between two objects?
Space.
If you had a special ace and wanted to refer to it with a contraction of the words using the first two letters from the first and the entirety of the second, how would you pronounce it?
Space.
What is between Sarah Palin's ears?
Fried chicken batter. When I first read it, it took me a while to realize that he was doing the whole space thing, but and he wanted me to answer space to that question, but that was the first thing that popped in my head. Sarah Palin's head is full of fried chicken batter, and I don't know why, but that just feels somehow exactly right.
If you drive straight up at a rate of 80 miles an hour for 2 days, where will you be?
Space.
Why am I being arrested?
Guilty of being in space.
Where am I?
Space.
Are you my father?
Yes, son, I am space.
Who protects aliens from wrongdoers?
Space cops.
Who is their judge?
Judge son presiding.
What percentage of poor people do scientists believe can steal souls by looking rich people in the eye?
Less than 4%. Thank you for the slew of Portal 2-related questions there, Poe. And if you haven't played Portal 2 yet, you really don't have any excuse. Okay, next up is Just a Critic, asking...
Let's see. Do you ever think they'll make an adequate comic book film?
Of course, dude. They've made plenty of adequate ones. They've made plenty of fantastic ones. Just recently, Kick-Ass came out, and I thought that it was not only an excellent comic book film, it was just an excellent film in general. It was, a deeply satirical film that nonetheless made you care about its characters, and that's pretty fucking difficult. And it's also the rare adaptation that exceeds its source material. You know, the original Kick-Ass was really just a giant flaming fuck you to comic book fans, and the movie made it a much more affectionate parody. It's skewering every single comic book and comic book movie cliche out there, but you know. It screws your expectation, it jerks you around a bit, but, you know, in the end realizes, hey, you've come to love these characters, you know, over this time, you know, we've made you invest emotional energy into it. You know, we're going to give them a big damn happy ending because they fucking deserve it. So yeah, that's a fucking excellent comic book movie. Most of them, I would say most of them are adequate. Let's see. The first Batman movie was pretty damn good. Batman Returns is even better. Batman Forever is campy but watchable. It's flawed, but it's still fun to watch. Batman Robin is utter shit. Batman Begins is good. Dark Knight is infinitely better. Dark Knight is possibly the perfect comic book movie. Don't know too much about the Superman movies. I know that Superman Returns kind of bored me. Had some good sequences, but also a lot of, you know, whining and emotional stuff, and just like, whine. Spider-Man was the same way. Definitely a bunch of good movies. There's certainly good stuff about all three of them. I think the first one was actually the best. A lot of people like Spider-Man 2. I thought it just wore out its welcome. The action sequences were fantastic, but the sequences with Parker just, you know, kind of, you know, bemoaning his fate and being all depressed and whatnot, I thought it's like, okay, you've made your point. I feel for this character. You don't have to keep dragging out these scenes. I thought that that movie could have been trimmed by a half hour. And Spider-Man 3, while it definitely had some missteps, I thought the whole subplot with the Sandman, almost everything about that was great. His performance was great. The special effects were great. I think that gets overlooked in the film. I agree with Nostalgia Critic, and I think that that movie needs to be reappraised. Similarly, I think X-Men is a damn good comic book movie, X2 is an even better comic book movie, and X3 has a lot going for it, and a lot of people hate it. Again, there's parts of it that are really flawed, there's other parts of it that are perfect, Beast among them, the bit where Magneto just fucks up a shitload of cop cars and stuff is just great. A lot of great little cameos and whatnot, you know. So it's an extremely uneven movie, but I think it depends on what you want to focus on. And that's the case of a lot of comic book movies. There's a lot of them where they get a lot of stuff wrong, but they get a lot of stuff right, and it's just a matter of which you want to focus on. And recently, too, X-Men First Class. Thought it was goddamn fantastic. And also the scene at the beginning with tiny little Mystique, I was like, oh god, she's so cute! I haven't seen Green Lantern yet, haven't seen Thor yet, I might see them, don't care. Oh yeah, Iron Man, both the Iron Man's really good.
How much doom do you need to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
5 pounds of doom? I don't know.
What other literary masterpieces do you have bubbling in your mind?
I already kind of asked her that, but, okay, fine, I'll give you a tiny little sneak preview. There's one story I've been working on for a long time. About like a war between predator and prey species. There's another story about a little vixen girl in a wheelchair who wears diapers. There's another story about school shootings and time travel, and another one about like an alien fox society, and probably just a fucking ton of other little ideas flitting about here and there that who knows if they'll ever develop into anything at all.
What is in that jar of dirt? I am unable to guess.
I got the impression that there was nothing in the jar of dirt. It's literally just a jar of dirt, and that Tia Dalma was fucking around with Jack Sparrow and just making him assume that, like, since she was giving him this jar of dirt, that there must be something special about it, except it's just a jar of dirt, and she just completely fucked him over, which is kind of brilliant.
Have you ever experienced character derailment?
Interestingly enough, no, because usually my stories start with the character. It usually starts with me getting an idea of the character, and it's usually two characters at once, two or more, and then they kind of play off of each other, and I let them just kind of evolve in my mind. And usually at the point where I'm lying in bed, trying to sleep, and they're having conversations back and forth that I'm not really consciously directing, that's the point where I know it's time to write about them. So usually the characters are there first, and I don't really experience character derailment, because I don't... Character development implies that I'm trying to make them do something, and they're disobeying me, but I never do that. I always let them just be whoever they want to be. I've experienced plot derailment before, where, you know, the story I set out to write is not the one that ends up getting written, but, yeah, I treat my characters like people, and I try to write by just basically setting the scene, have an idea of where I want things to go, and then just let the characters do what comes naturally to them. Next up, Drakus Kier asked some stuff.
Wow, WTH? I didn't even see this journal from you. Questions. How many stories do you have in the works at the moment?
I just answered that. how many? A whole lot of bunch of...
Why don't you play Warhammer 40K?
Because it's not my type of game, because it's expensive, and because I don't have the manual dexterity to paint tiny little figures.
Have you seen the trailer for the new game Black Prophecy?
No.
Can you tell me why superhero comics and movies always have the story that is here and now first, and then go back and tell you the backstory as to how they got there?
I don't necessarily think that's true for movies, because I think a lot of movies have the tedious origin story as the first film, you know, because they just assume that audiences can't do research. Yeah, usually they do the tedious origin story in the first movie, and in the second movie they actually do some storytelling. But I know what you're talking about with comics, where they'll just introduce a character and he's just jumping around doing stuff and shooting energy bolts and whatever, and then if they feel like it, they'll throw in an origin story. And I think, in many cases, it may be that they just don't have one yet. It's just like, okay, cool, we've got an idea for this character. I don't know how in the hell he, she, they got their powers. We'll come to that later. Or maybe they're just like, you know, let's establish this character first, see if the person, see if the readers like him, and then we'll, you know, and then if they like him, then we'll give him an origin. That's my guess.
What's your opinion on the new Duke Nukem?
I refuse to believe that Duke Nukem Forever exists, and I will because there's just been so many delays, I will refuse to believe it until I am standing in a store holding a copy in my hands. At which point I'll buy it and play it and probably just enjoy the hell of it.
What was your opinion on Inception?
The smartest screenplay I think I've ever seen in my life, and one of the best movies of the past 20, possibly 50 years. Honest to God, I can't praise that movie enough. Everything about it, I just love the, I love the fact that it's like, this is a movie that he spent fucking 10 years writing the script for, and it shows. This is a movie where just every little tiny piece of it has been meticulously thought out, and yet, while still leaving room for improvisation, you know, that's genius when, you know, a lot of directors will try to do big projects like this. They'll have the big damn movie that they want to film, but they have to film some other stuff in Hollywood first in order to get some cred, and then, they, you know, eventually they'll direct some stuff, and the studio will say, oh, hey, you know, you brought in money, you know, that project you've been working on, fine, here, we'll give you the money, just, you know, go hog wild, and they'll be like, whee! And then they'll churn out something like Heaven's Gate, which, if you haven't heard of, go look it up. It's the, you know, the biggest bomb in Hollywood history, and by some accounts, it's not a bad movie. It's just a movie that has no editing. They filmed everything, and it's like 4 hours long, and they just, the filming of it was insane, and a lot of director vanity projects are like that, because they're given the opportunity to do anything they want, and so they don't listen to outside people. You know, whenever I do any of my stories, I always send it off for proofreading, because, you know, you can't completely trust your own judgment. And yeah, that's why they're called vanity projects, because these people are too vain to fucking listen to any outside opinion. But I don't get that sense with Christopher Nolan. I get the sense too that he, you know, no matter how passionate he is over the project, he's still listening to other people's thoughts on it, and that is why he's a good director, and that's why he'll continue being a good director. I also love the fact that I found out this recently, there's only one piece of music in the entire film. That French song that they listen to when they're waking up, the title of which translates to No, I Regret Nothing, which is so massively ironic, my brain bleeds. Every piece of music in that, every bit of background music, is all permutations, slowed down, speeded up versions of that song. How fucking brilliant is that? Sort of thing you don't even notice. It's just, let's be brilliant just for the fucking sake of being brilliant. That's why I like that movie. It's just, I feel stupid in the face of it in a good way. Just like, I could never be smart enough to create something like this. Not even mentioning the fucking excellent performances from everybody and the just balls explodingly perfect special effects. It's a perfect movie, period.
What was your favorite movie that was released in the last 2 years? And your most hated one, too?
Obviously Inception, but 2010 was a really good year for movies for me, because, three of my favorite movies of all time all came out, pretty close to each other, actually. Inception, Kick-Ass, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. That's another comic book movie that's more than adequate. It's a fucking fantastic movie in its own right. Pardon me. I try not to say, ooh, favorite movie ever, immediately after I see a film. But yeah, those three definitely The more I thought about them, the more it's like, yeah, I've seen all of them multiple times, which is rare for me. Also, Tron Legacy came out, which, it was a flawed movie, but it was certainly an event, and it was fun to see all the light cycles and shit, and it was great, and the score from Daft Punk, yeah! I also saw Hannah recently, and that was a really, really well-directed movie that had a really, really good score. Plenty of other movies that have been really, really good. Saw Super 8 yesterday. That was great. It's just like, hey, you want to see a movie that's, you know, that will make you feel, that will have characters that you care about, and stuff will happen to them, and there's really cool stuff, and it's just, it's a movie made with a whole hell of a lot of love and fun. And I can see how really cynical nitpickers would hate the fuck out of it, but it's not made for them. I think the movie's almost a cynicism test. I can definitely see that. Because there's definitely parts like, oh, well, that wouldn't happen that way. That's not the point. That's not the point. And if that's all you focus on, and you can't see what the movie's, you know, that the movie is about more than just what happens to be on the screen at the moment, then you're not doing it right. Okay, so most hated has to go to Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Has to. Here's something interesting. I, not too long ago, was feeling like watching something terribly bad, and so with a friend I watched G.I. Joe: The Rise of Cobra. And what struck me is that substantially there is no difference at all between it and Revenge of the Fallen. It's loud, it's bizarrely colored, the action sequences are too kinetic to even make any sense of whatsoever. It's nonsensical, it's stupid, the dialogue is god-awful, there's scientific inaccuracies in there that'll just make your hair curl, and yet I had fun watching it. The whole time it's like, this is fucking terrible! you know, as opposed to watching Revenge of the Fallen, which is like, this is terrible. God! And I realized the difference between the two is that Revenge of the Fallen is boring and mean-spirited. With G.I. Joe, they got a whole, but you know, they got a big giant cast of characters, and you can tell they're at least trying to do them right. They don't necessarily succeed, but they try. They at least try to get the characters right, and there's some love there. It ends up being like when a Down syndrome kid does a macaroni drawing. It's terrible, but you can't tell them that, because they tried. Actually, one other thing that I will give G.I. Joe is that there's a massive cast of characters, and all of them are given at least one chance to shine. So, yeah, I'll give them that, definitely. Not so the case for Revenge of the Fallen, where just characters will just show up, fucking die, or they'll show up in the background and not have any lines, and then, you know, other characters who you hate because they're racist will just dominate the screen time. Like I said, it's boring and mean-spirited. It's numbing. It's just like, boom, 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 more explosions, more explosions, more explosions, until you're just fucking just ready to die. And then it's like, okay, their explosions have stopped. Okay, now the humans are going to talk about fucking nothing for the next 45 minutes. Oh, God, bring on some more explosions. And then explosions happen for 45 minutes, and it's just, oh, God, there's the... Oh, God. And like I said, it's mean-spirited, because Michael Bay has massive contempt for his audience. He doesn't fucking care about you. And it really shows. It shows in, I was discussing this last night, and as Canadian immediately pointed out, you know, having RC and other fembots show up and then immediately fucking get killed. It's having Sideswipe only peer in it for a couple of seconds. It's the fact that every single character does not look the way they're supposed to. And there's not even... Didn't even try in most cases. It just simply, it's like, you know, oh, hey, there's this character, you know, I'm going to make him the way I want to. And that's Michael Bay in a nutshell. You know, and the more, you know, the fans of the original say, this isn't a Transformers movie, what the hell are you doing to this thing? He's like, I can make it any way I want, and you can't stop me, nya, 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 nya. And that's why I fucking hate Michael Bay. because he makes the movies purely for himself, and when people don't like it, I can just feel that he sits and smirks. Ugh. Moving on. Spearwolf asks,
why do you say person instead of person?
Because it's... I think it's cute. I don't know. Probably annoys people. I don't care.
What do you think of me?
I think you're a cool, interesting, fun, intelligent guy.
What do you think of yourself?
That's a harder one. I'm intelligent and I'm proud of that. Unreservedly, you know. I think I'm a decently empathetic person. I've worked on that a lot. I like to hope that I'm a good friend. I know I slip sometimes, but I it's something I really value. I also like to hope that I'm as honest as I try to make myself be. I think more than anything else, I try to keep myself honest with myself, with other people. I try, I don't know how much I succeed. I suppose what I think of myself in general is that I do try. I don't always try my best, but I try my best when I can.
Furry porn has been used as a factor of probable cause in issuing a search warrant on alleged bestiality. Your thoughts?
This probably isn't the answer that you want, but I looked at your journal, I looked at the case that you're talking about, I looked at the video of it, and I'm not sure that that's the case. Furry porn might have led the person who reported on the police to be suspicious, but when they were interviewing the cop guy, they said that they found pictures online of this guy doing something suggestively sexual, or some kind of sexual pose with his dog, and... that's the reason why they went and arrested him. So, I think the implication here, and I've seen this in other journals too, it's like, if you have furry porn, then, anybody could report you, and then the cops will come and arrest you and take away your pets. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's what's actually happening here. So, I guess relax. In reality, I don't think... sometimes we get paranoid about in our internet habits. I think we forget the internet is so effing vast that the likelihood of any police officer or government agency focusing on what you're doing is astronomically tiny. Really, if you're not out and out blatantly hacking or identity thefting or whatever, you're probably beneath their notice. And thank God for that.
Can we talk more often, one-on-one?
I guess so. Sure, send me a PM. I'm going to say this now and forever. Don't ask me to chat. It's not that I don't appreciate, the thought that people want to chat with me. It's that, number one, I've got an older computer, and a lot of chat programs are really buggy as fuck and crash a lot on it. And number two, if I chatted online with everyone who asked me, I wouldn't have enough time to eat, sleep, poop, blink, breathe. So yeah, it's just not something I can feasibly do. Next up, Asura Ludu asks,
in what new dangers should Ruthie be placed? Be as graphic as you like?
For those of you who don't know, Ruthie is a fake TV show that I came up with for the story Ghost Story. Ruthie is an adventure mouse who trots around the globe. Let's see. Big carnivorous plants are always a plus. Likewise, quicksand. Definitely the classics. Nice wee wee quicksand. Maybe like a cannibal tribe. I think you've already drawn that, though. Well, she's a mouse, so big snakes, I guess. I'm trying to think what's some more perils she could get into. I can't really think of any more than that. I'll get back to you, though, if I do.
Given the madness that followed at the end of Summer of the Living Dead, do you think Tish will ever try any new spells?
Oh, sure. she's just got that hurricane-type personality. Despite just the insane chaos that happened from her trying her raising somebody from the dead spell, I think she'd be like, you know, well, in the end, that turned out fine, so why not? I can see her just looking reality dead in the eyes and just saying, you're going to do what I want, because I'm Tish.
Which is better, raccoon bondage with duct tape and tinfoil gags, or kitten spankings with heart-shaped petals?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with the kitten spanking because tinfoil gags? God, that sounds really unpleasant. Ever bitten tinfoil? Oh, it's awful. And duct tape, too, on fur? That'd be awful. That'd be just... I mean, unless the raccoon really likes it, but it seems unlikely. So, raccoon bondage in general, I'm fine with. But just the duct tape and the tinfoil, no. No. Spank the kitties. That sounds much more pleasant. Next, Cloud006 asks,
out of all of your stories, what one do you like best and why?
Another one I answered in an earlier question-answery thing. I really can't answer that. I like them all for different reasons. I think Ghost Story has really strong writing. I have a very deep emotional attachment to the characters in Down in the Dumps. I love how the Bartleby story, how popular it is, how much it's kind of gotten away from me, that, you know, hell expands even when I'm not writing it because other people are writing fan fictions for it. I love the fact that people want to write fan fictions for it. I love how well the characters interact, that I can pretty much just start a story and they'll write it, you know. I love just the accomplishment of finishing Dangerous Lunatics, this big, massive, growly, 800-page monster. Summer Vacation, Living Dead has a lot of great action sequences. Held in Captivity still surprises me with how emotional it is. I cry every time I read it. With Love Me Till My Heart Stops, I was really proud of the fact that I was able to get people to accept a story with such bizarre subject matter as cub necrophilia. And that I was able to do it through just making the characters seem relatable. They took the subject matter and wrapped it around the story of somebody meeting somebody that they've met online. I think that's kind of universal. We've all either had that moment or wanted that. You know, somebody that we've talked to online for a long time and then going to actually meet them and, you know, the feeling of that experience. And so, taking that as a core, giving the reader something familiar, and then introducing them to a fetish that they would normally just shrink away from. And Lily's obsessed with funerals, and that's not even a fetish of mine, and it was really interesting trying to write it was fun and challenging trying to write a fetish that I didn't share and do it convincingly. Everything I've written, I love. You know, I wouldn't ever have the momentum to finish a story if I didn't love it.
Why do you like, or think you like, all the fetish that you do?
That was an interestingly structured sentence. I can't say why I like all the fetishes that I do, because I like fucking all of them. But I think that in and of itself, I like diversity. I like newness. I like coming across something strange and interesting that I've never encountered before, and then be like, you know, what? That person likes this? Wow, that's weird. I can't even understand that. That's kind of hot. I want to understand it now so I can share in that feeling of enjoying this. The general rule of thumb for understanding fetish, I think you can understand any fetish because they usually fall into one of three categories. One, at the heart of most fetishes, there's power transference, dom and sub. Like, with people can't understand vor. Vor, you know, it's an ultimate act of domination or submission. You're dominating somebody by just completely taking them inside you, treating them as food. And, you know, if you're a willing prey, you're submitting to that and, you know, wanting to just give yourself up and be consumed by another completely. And a lot of other characters. Obviously, Macro Micro is a blatant example of down sub. Also, cases where when somebody's growing up, there'll be an event that makes them feel funny and confuses them and is kind of frightening, but as they grow older, the brain fetishizes it in order to not fear it anymore. There's usually three main responses to something that surprises us. Either amusement, laughter, fear, or more rarely, fetishizing. Somebody was telling me recently that they've got kind of a fetish for living cigarette beings. And I'm like, wow, that is bizarre. And I was really trying to understand and asking him stuff. And I was like, do you remember anything from your childhood that sparked this? And he said that his mom used to smoke, and that he would always feel kind of bizarrely sympathetic for the cigarettes, imagining that they were living beings. And I'm like, ding, 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 we have an explanation. I can definitely see that, the trauma of thinking, oh, God, what if they're alive? What if they can feel that? And then turning into, oh, what if they can feel that and they like it? What if the little cigarettes are alive and want to be set on fire? So that's interesting. And also, almost anything that has a distinct texture and a distinct kind of smelly odor can become a fetish. Balloons and shoes and rubber, that type of thing, usually substances, something that are tactile and smelly. If you can break fetishes down, most fetishes are representational. If you can figure out what that fetish represents, what emotion is gained from that fetish, what feeling, what memories, what does that fetish represent, then you can understand it.
If you are into any web comics, what ones do you like? Please, list all the ones you like.
Ah, now see, that's another one that I answered in earlier question-answering audio. You only get one. Go listen to the other ones.
If you could live in any time and any place in the world, when and where would it be?
As for when, I can't imagine living a life without the internet. So either the present or the near future. I could not live in the past. I would go mad from boredom. As for where, as much as I rag on America, I like it quite a bit. I like that we, are the center of so much culture. Whether good or bad, we provide a whole hell of a lot of the world's pop culture. I've been to Canada. I really like that place. That was fun. I wouldn't mind living there for a while because it's like us, but it's more mellow, and it seems like, in general, Canada feels like it has less to prove. It's not like, America's like, we're number one, we're number one, we have to keep saying we're number one, otherwise we might not realize that we're not exactly number one anymore. Whereas Canada's like, we're just up here being happy and we don't have anything to prove. I also might like to try Scandinavia, like Denmark, the Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, one of those countries, because I keep hearing that they have, they've got a lot of social services, they've got a lot of personal freedoms, a lot of stuff that's illegal here is legal there, prostitution, marijuana and such. They've got a more socialist leaning economy, but still with some capitalism to balance it out. Despite the fact that it's cold as fuck up there, from everything I've heard, the people are happy and freer than us, so they must be doing something right. I wouldn't mind giving them a try.
Out of all your characters, what one do you like best, and why that one?
I can't possibly answer that. I like all of them. I love all of them. They're, I treat them like real people. And so if I said any one that I like most, I feel like those would get jealous, I can't just, I could say Bartleby, but then again, he's, the most popular. It's like, I can't say, do I really love him more than the other ones? I love all of them. I love all of them. Who's next for asking questions? That would be, Chaos Blackwing is asking.
What do you think would be the worst thing you could do, or that could be done, to organized religion? I've got an idea myself. I'm curious as to what you would come up with.
What's the worst thing that could be done to organized religion? better education for children. Period. If at a young age we taught kids critical thinking skills, if we taught them to not automatically believe anything they're told without thinking about it first, if we taught them the difference between good and bad faith, that, you know, good faith is where you have good reason to be, good reason to have faith, you know, like in a trusted friend or a family member or yourself, and bad faith is when somebody says, you'd better believe in this or else some kind of threat, some kind of cosmic threat, you'll go to hell or you'll be a sinner, you know, don't think about it too hard, just believe in this because I say so, because I'm scary. If we taught kids how to question and how to think for themselves, that would be the biggest blow. And I think that's happening. I think the internet is the scariest thing that could ever happen to the church, because now people who never would have been able to communicate their doubts about religion now have a way to. And as technology progresses, the church's ability to hide the truth from people diminishes and diminishes and diminishes and diminishes, and now people can just go walk into a bookstore and find a book that lays out the case for why they're wrong and why they're harmful and why, you know, the very idea of believing without questioning is among the most dangerous things that can happen to society and the most hurtful. So yeah, educate the kids. Religion will be, if not dead, at least crippled to the point of not being able to rule the world anymore.
Do you have a favorite joke? And if so, what is it?
Okay, I gotta get my lips limbered up for this one. Okay, so there's a psychiatric hospital, and there's a new doctor who's been transferred there, and he's going around and checking up on all the patients. He goes in the first room, and there's a guy in there who's swinging an imaginary baseball bat, and the doctor says, "Hi there, I'm Dr. What's-His-Name, how you doing?" "Oh, hi, Doc. You think you'll get out of here soon?" "Oh, yeah, sure, as soon as I hit this home run." Swish, you know. And the doctor thinks, okay, the guy's kind of nuts, and he goes in the next room. And there's a guy in there swinging an imaginary golf ball, or sorry, a golf club. Yeah. And the doctor's like, "Hi, I'm Dr. What's-His-Name, you know, how you doing?" "Oh, just fine, Doc, just fine. You think you'll get out of here soon?" "Oh, yeah, as soon as I hit this hole-in-one." And the doctor's like, "Okay, two of them." And the doctor goes into the third room. And in the third room, there's a guy sitting on a bed, sticking a pistachio in the end of his dick. And the doctor says, "Hi there, I'm Dr. What's-His-Name, how are you?" "Oh, just fine. Do you think you'll get out of here soon?" "What? You kidding? I'm fucking nuts." Yeah, it's terrible. I hope I told it right.
If you were somehow declared the absolute ruler of the world, other than maniacal laughter, what would your first day in office consist of?
Ooh. I don't know. So many ideas. I fantasize about this quite a lot, which should come as no surprise. I think the first thing I do is just go around and collect up all my friends and just lavish them with wonderful stuff. But I think I'd also want to, like, do a live TV broadcast across the globe and just say, you know, "Hi, I'm your new leader. I'm going to do a bunch of stuff that you're going to fucking hate me for. But I want you to think about where you are now, where your life is now, where your economy is now, where, you know, your relationship with other countries now, you know, where just everything in general is now. And then down the line, after a while, I want you to look around and see if things aren't better, even if you don't like them. Even if you think, oh, I hate that guy, he did all this stuff, and he legalized this and made this illegal and blah, 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 and did all this stuff. You know, see if life isn't fucking better. And if it isn't, well, you can kill me. And if it is, then maybe you should just shut up."
How many notes or other background info do you typically generate when you write a story? As an aside of this one, have you ever had a character start out one way when you first thought of a story, but end up completely different when you actually wrote it?
Like I said, yeah, I really don't have character derailment. I've had plot derailment a couple of times, but yeah, characters start out the way that they are, and I just let them be. As far as notes and background info, I usually will have a little text file of just general ideas that I'll have while thinking it up. Usually, it's a few months before I start on a story. I'll come up with the idea, and I'll just play around with it in my head, and get ideas for it, and get comfortable for it until I can kind of picture at least most parts of it. But still in kind of a vague way, so it's just kind of a general idea, and I'll write down little things that I don't want to forget when I start writing. So when I start on a story, I have a general idea of where things go, but I leave it loose enough for a lot of improvisation, so just to let the characters direct it, basically. Just plot them down in the situation, and let their natural reactions to things write the plot.
Do you have a favorite game? And if so, what is it?
My favorite game is Pocket Pool. And masturbation doesn't count as a game. I'd probably have to say the Orange Box, because even though I don't play Team Fortress 2, just due to system requirements, it is fun listening to other people talk about it, and I love the fuck out of Half-Life 2, and Portal, and I guess I would include Portal 2 in that. So, yeah, they're probably my favorite. Although the two Bioshock games are up there, certainly, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is also a lot of fun.
Will you do more stories with Vore leading to Scat?
Oh, sorry, that's Drakira asking this now. Will I do more for stories with Vore leading to Scat? Yeah, I guess so, probably. Don't have any, you know, like with the Gadget Scat pictures, I don't have any specifically in mind, but I like Vore and I like poop, and yeah, probably.
Will the Scat be sentient as it comes out of the person's rear?
Arr, you say sentient instead of sentient. Will the Scat be sentient? Yeah, sure, why not?
Will said sentient Scat being be sent down into a septic tank, diaper pail, training potty, or porta potty for it to communicate and have fun with other sentient Scat beings?
I guess.
Will sentient Scat beings still be able to move slightly and help pleasure each other?
You know, if I've done the other ones, I may as well go that far. Barely hypothetical, but yeah, I'm just saying I wouldn't be against the idea. Yeah, sure.
Are sentient Scat beings love juices lemonade?
Wow, that is that is a bizarre sentence. And are sentient Scat beings love juices lemonade? Say that out loud. It feels weird on your lips. I would say no, because they're made out of poop. Why would they be having lemonade come out of them? I would guess they would, you know, have poop juices. Next up, FS Scribe asks,
what is the flight speed of an unladen swallow?
English or European? Or shit, or whatever. You know.
If bio-augmentation existed, would you become your fursona? If you would, how would you deal with the undeniable bigotry you would face? And if not, how would you react to those who have become their fursonas?
Would I become my fursona? Fuck yes! You know, if I could turn into a little toon fox and have, you know, pointy soft ears and a big old bushy tail and a rubbable tummy and big old, you know, pudgy feet with cute little toes, and a little black nose and big expressive eyes. Fuck yeah, I would do that! How would I deal with the undeniable bigotry I would face? Laughing at it. People would be like, oh, look at that fur fag, uh-huh, fur fag. I'd be like, hey, guess what? I'm deliriously happy with myself. Are you? No? Aww.
Do you believe in the supernatural?
No, but it's a matter of semantics. I don't think that there is anything supernatural. In the same way, I don't think that anything is magic in the sense that it either has no explanation or has an explanation that we can't know. The things that we think of the supernatural fall into two categories. Either they're bullshit, or it's something that is genuinely happening and eventually we'll know what it is and be able to describe it and such. And if so, then it won't be supernatural anymore. It'll become natural. Supernatural means outside of nature, and simply everything is nature. Just because we don't understand something doesn't mean that it has no cause, or that we can't understand it. I'm trying to think of an example of that, something that we used to think of as supernatural. For a long time, scientists didn't believe in meteors. They thought that was just like, what, the idea of rocks falling from the sky? That's bullshit. And eventually they found proof of it, and they resisted for a little while, because nobody likes admitting when they're wrong, but eventually it's like, okay, yeah. And now we have, you know, scientific studies of meteors, and something went from being bullshit to something that we understand naturally.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
As much wood as a woodchuck could chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood. I mean, I don't know, was that good? Yeah, Robbie, I totally stole it from you. I don't care. It kills.
If 42 is the ultimate answer, what is the ultimate question?
How many times can Alex Renard orgasm in a single evening? okay, up next, Ray Jones asks...
Just happened to go on at FA and see your notice of the new site. Sorry about your FA problems. If you need questions... Here is one that is of very great practical importance, but may be considered boring. In the upcoming elections, it's clear that many, if not most, people want candidates who are neither Republicans nor Democrats. But I can't think of anybody else who could run and have a serious chance of winning. Any suggestions?
Whoops. he kind of went woof at the end. So the question is, you know, people want candidates that are not Republicans or Democrats, you know, but nobody else is running who's like that, so any suggestions? There aren't any, really. This is a problem where we as a society have dug ourselves a pit, and now we're realizing we're in a pit, and we want an easy way out of it. And there is none. We have swallowed the bullshit that this is a two-party system. We have swallowed the lie that if you vote for a third party, you're throwing your vote away. Yeah, if you vote for somebody who actually represents your interests, you're throwing your vote away, as opposed to voting for somebody who you don't like but seems to be marginally better than the other guy. Simple fact is there aren't any Republicans or Democrats anymore. There are centrists with a slightly Republican leaning. There are centrists who court Republicans and centrists who court Democrats. And none of them will take really, really strong positions because they don't want to offend the other side too much to not get votes, you know. And those that do don't have a chance of winning because, you know, the people who, like, speak to the Tea Party, they're never going to, you know, they'll get elected to a few Senate seats here and there. But, you know, we're never going to have, you know, a rabid Tea Party president. Well, shit, no. Yeah, George Bush wasn't, because even the Tea Party hates him. But, I guess I'm saying, you know, politicians may reveal their true stripes when in office, but they're always going to run on a platform of, you know, I'll do whatever you want me to! You know, I'm a blank slate. Project onto me whatever you think is most fitting for this office. So yeah, we fucked ourselves by trapping ourselves into a game of false choices. And the only way out of it is to just vote third party. To vote for the person that you actually want in office. And, you know, knowing that they won't win, but that maybe, you know, you can at least... hopefully other people will vote that way too and show that, you know, hey, this can't, you know... People are actually wanting these type of candidates in office. It'll be slow. There's no easy answer to it. If this ever gets solved, it'll be a slow, gradual process. I'm going to record. I'm going to go back on Robbie's pre-recorded things because I bumped into the last question there. Right. It's time for the big finale. A while ago, the Amazing Atheist. Who, if you're not familiar with, you need to go get familiar with now, because he's the greatest YouTuber in the history of YouTube. he posted on one of his videos a quiz of 10 questions, and I really like them, and I'm like, I want to answer those, even though you guys technically didn't ask me them. So here we go.
Warning. Incoming bonus round. Warning. Incoming bonus round. Is eugenics inherently wrong?
No. No science is inherently wrong. That's like saying a sport is inherently wrong. It's too broad. You know, nuclear power isn't bad. It just, you know, a bunch of people at Chernobyl used it really badly and colored public perception of it for a long time. Eugenics is the science of tampering with genes in... See, they've got me doing it, you know, fear of science, tampering. Eugenics is changing people's DNA in order to produce better, more desirable traits. Basically saying, evolution's too slow, we want better human beings now. And yeah, it's considered really scary, and it's got connections with the Nazis, who thought, you know, you could breed a better class of person. You know, and then, well, see, they did it wrong. You know, their idea of the better person is blonde, you know, blue eyes. And it's like, no, that's not objectively better than, you know, any other skin color or eye color. Wait, people don't have blonde skin. Anyway, oh man, I'm rambling now. Focus, Dr. Pepper. Wow, my mind is totally going blank now. Wake up! Smack. Eugenics is basically having designer children and whatnot. And as much as this idea is scary and it's been, you know, the worst possible scenarios have been trumped up in science fiction, the alternative, if it succeeds, we wind up with a generation of people who are free from disease and who are smarter and stronger and healthier, and I think that's a risk worth taking.
Should people need to get a license to be parents?
That's a fond fantasy, but, you know, looking at all the shitty parents around us, but obviously it's a fantasy. It could never work, and it should never work. If that ever existed, if you need a license to get parents, who would decide that? Who would decide what's a good parent? And how do we know that they wouldn't be, you know, fundamentalist Christians? You know, actually, right now, some people do need a license to be parents. Gay people, and some places just say, we don't care how good of a parent you are. You know, you can't adopt kids because some book says so. So yeah, any system saying, you know, who can and can't be parents, the potential for abusing that system would be astronomical, and so, yeah, it should never exist.
Should the age of consent be raised, kept the same, lowered, or abolished?
Abolished. We don't need it. We think we need it because we've been told for a long time that we need it. We don't. If we had some, you know, if the age of consent were guidelines instead of laws, I would have less of a problem with them. But the idea of saying everyone below this age is completely incapable of any kind of consent, or competence, everyone above this age is perfectly able to consent and has perfect competence, that's ridiculous. That's just fucking ridiculous. If there was some kind of shades of gray to it, you know, like this age to this age, probably not, this age to this age, maybe, this age to this age, yeah, okay, and this age to this age, you know, sure, do what you want. But no, it's just like, under 16? No. Over 16? Yes! What I think the best possible solution would be is, do you have the age of consent, but just as a guideline, as a general, people under this age probably shouldn't, people over this age, okay, do what you want, but you get the best experts you can, and you design opt-out tests. You know, you have a driving test where anybody who wants to can take the test, and maybe for, you know, like really little kids, you have to get a certain super high score. You know, if you're 5 and you get a 90% on the driving course, then yeah, you get your license. If you can demonstrate that you're proficient and knowledgeable, then you get an exception from the age of consent laws. Similarly, if you want to vote, you can take a civics test. If you want to join the military, you could take some kind of physical test. And yeah, if you want to fuck, you know, you go and you take a test demonstrating understanding of STDs and pregnancy and moral consequences, and if you pass, boom, you get a license to fuck anyone you feel like. Why not? Why not let the people who are proficient, who have the mental capacity for consent and making educated decisions, why don't we let them do what they want, you know, and not hamper them?
Should all drugs be legal? Should the currently legal drugs be illegal? Or should it all stay the same?
Everything should be legalized. It's taking me a while to come to this position, because a lot of other people who I respect have said that, and I was against that for the longest time because I'm thinking, like, you know, heroin and crack cocaine and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is drugs are bad, but they're not as bad as the war on drugs. Drugs are something that they're never going to go away. We're never going to stop them. We're never going to stop people from taking drugs. It's never going to happen. And we need to be adults and acknowledge that and accept it. You know, during Prohibition, it didn't stop people from drinking. What it did was create a black market. And that created, you know, gang wars and people getting shot and killed and the government actually putting poison in alcohol to keep people from drinking it and killing its own citizens and saying, oh well, you know, it's their own fault for trying to drink. This actually happened. Look it up. Government fucking put poison in alcohol that they knew that people were going to bootleg and drink and killed them because, you know, that was more moral than them drinking that demon alcohol. And the same thing applies now. You know, what? You're smoking marijuana? That's bad. So we're going to put you in prison. You know? Or, hey, you're a heroin junkie? We're going to put you in prison. Because, yeah, that's a good treatment. Prison. I actually wouldn't mind drugs being illegal if the we didn't focus on punishment so much as treatment. If it's like, okay, you've been arrested for possession of this, you go into rehab. You know, instead of we put you in a cell and treat you like human garbage for however long. You know, that would at least be a better way of going about it. But even then, making the drugs illegal means that you create a black market and you make these drug cartels and these drug lords, you make them into millionaires. That's what the drug war does. It gives money to criminals. Last of my Dr. Pepper. So yeah, we've got to come around to acknowledging that the war on drugs has failed in every conceivable way. That it costs shitloads of tax dollars to feed and house all these people that you throw in prison, that it doesn't help anybody, and that it's a very infantile way of looking at things. You know, you're doing something that I think is morally wrong, therefore, you know, I'm going to say, no, you can't do that. Period. No gray areas, no compassion, just punish it. Punish the behavior that I don't like, that I think is bad, and then keep telling lies about how bad it is to justify the inhuman way that I'm treating these people. Doesn't work. It's cruel and it's awful.
Why are zombie movies so popular, and why are the classical monsters, ghosts, vampires, and werewolves, in decline?
Now, that question was written before the Twilight books started getting popular, but then again, Twilight doesn't actually have vampires in it. Twilight has whatever the fuck Stephanie Meyer felt like putting in her books and calling them vampires. But, so why are zombie movies more popular when the classical monsters aren't? I think because we have, we've kind of become a nation of nitpickers when it comes to movies. Like I was talking about with Super 8, you know, the classical movie monsters, it's like even when there are vampires on screen, we take away all the supernatural elements. When's the last time you saw a vampire that turns into a bat? You know, we can't take that seriously, and so we can't be afraid of that. In the same way that, you know, if they've got, like, a swamp monster or something, it's like, you know, well, how would that happen? How would that evolve? And the audience has to think too much about it and can't be scared by it. On the other hand, zombies can be plausible. A lot of zombie movies do the whole idea of a virus, you know. Or even then, there's slightly scientific ways you could have an actual zombie outbreak, like, you know, nanobots that get into people and, you know, animate their corpses even though their brains are dead. You know, that's semi-plausible. But in general, people need explanations before, you know, there just seems to be a need now for people to explain things. People just don't go into a movie and have suspension of disbelief anymore. They need everything just gratuitously explained to them, which in some ways is good because it's forced movies to move away from some of the stupider cliches, but in some ways it's bad because people can't just go to a movie and relax anymore. They have to analyze it. We don't have people who watch movies. We've just got a nation of film critics. But also, zombies represent a lot of our deep fears. They represent a loss of individuality, of, you know, unstoppable mob rule, and of forcing us to confront the fact that, you know, once our consciousness is gone, we're hunks of rotting meat. And nobody wants to, you know, nobody wants to deal with that. And it's also frightening in the sense that it's like they bite you and you become one of them. And that, you know, when the zombie apocalypse happens, your life then is just running from the zombies forever. Really, Shaun of the Dead is the only one that has shown humanity recovering from a zombie apocalypse, at least permanently. I know the 28 days later one, it like had a happy ending, and then 28 weeks later everything got shitty again. Zombies allow us to get a look at some of the things that deeply frighten us, but not too close of a look. Just enough to kind of peek under the sheet at the corpse and go, ugh, but then, you know, back safely away from it, not have to confront it too much.
Do you think Ayn Rand had the right to claim objectivity even though she believed that homosexuality is disgusting and immoral?
No.
Would you prefer a system of government where the unexceptional are given a level playing field at the expense of the talented, or one where the talented can thrive at the cost of the unexceptional?
The latter. The second one. Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. When I was in school, the unspoken first commandment of public school was, be average or we will punish you. You know, the really stupid kids, they got punished, but the smart, exceptional kids got punished in other ways. They were forced to take classes that were beneath them. They were, you know, given homework that was like, this is pointless fucking busy work that just, it hurts my brain to have to concentrate on this shit, because it's just stupid and repetitive and below me. And, blow me! I vividly remember a moment at school when we were watching a video on the pyramids, and they were talking about how the ancient Egyptians built the pyramids and they also built the Sphinx. And after the video was over, I stood up and pointed out that recently scientists have discovered that the Sphinx is actually thousands of years older than the pyramids, and no one's really sure who built it. And the teacher basically just told me to sit down and shut up. And it hurt. You know, I thought, here, I'm adding something to the discussion. And he's just like, look, I don't have time for that. Just take what we feed you and don't, you know, don't deviate from the norm. So yeah, I want a society where the people who can thrive are allowed to, where they're not restrained by, you know, a school system that cares more about self-esteem and training you to be a good, obedient consumer worker than in actually educating you and giving you the tools you need to be a critical thinker and live a fulfilling life. I like the idea of a society where everyone can be where they choose to be. Where if you want to be a failure, you know, we won't stand in your way. You can fail all you want. If you want to be average, great, you can be average. If you want to excel, we'll help you do that too. That would be my utopia. Yeah.
What literary or cinematic character do you most strongly identify with?
I don't know.
Animal?
Sorry. Left him talking now. I don't know if how many of you are familiar with Daniel Pinkwater. He writes young adult novels, and he's fucking fantastic at them. When I first read the book Lizard Music, I thought it had been written about me. The protagonist of it is a 12-year-old kid who's, you know, smart, competent. He's definitely smarter than his family. He's very particular about his hobbies. And just the way that he thinks and talks, it reminded me almost painfully of myself. And reading it was just a fucking joy. I need to read it again. I usually read it every couple of years. It's a great book. I like that it starts off just completely plausible and realistic, and then gradually fantastical elements are added to the story, but still treated like, you know, this is just something that's happening. As far as movie characters, I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Real Genius, but I empathize, you know, to an incredible amount with both Mitch and Chris Knight. The movie's about, it's an 80s comedy about a bunch of super smart kids in college, and Mitch is a genius, but he's really shy and socially awkward, and Chris Knight is, like, the smartest kid in the room, and he's been completely burned out on going along with the system, and now is just rebelling like crazy, and just being a goofball, and not giving a shit what anybody thinks of him. And I've been both of those. It's also a great movie because there's a character in there called Jordan, who was the inspiration for Gadget and Rescue Rangers, and if you watch the movie, the second she shows up, you'll know exactly.
Strongly identify with.
Yes.
Do animals deserve equal rights with humans? If not, why do mentally retarded adults with the same capacity as some great apes have more rights than said apes?
The question is, do animals deserve the same rights? And yes, they do. I think any animal that is capable of understanding, I want pleasure and I want to avoid pain. That they should have the right to be able to seek pleasure and avoid pain. The problem is that we humans are kind of the dominant species on the planet, and we decide who gets what. Natural predation is natural, and we're predators, whether we like it or not. All life is set up so that it is in competition with other life, that we have to consume or kill other life forms in order for us to survive. It's true for all forms of life on the planet. So yeah, as much as the vegetarians and PETA want a meatless society, it'll never happen, because life is designed to prey on other life forms. But I do think, though, that because we have the capacity to recognize that, we have the responsibility to decrease the amount of cruelty we show to other species as much as we can. We're still going to eat animals because, you know, we're wired to, but we don't have to, you know, we don't have to torture them. It's just realistic. It would be nice if we had a world that was completely cruelty-free, but I don't think it's possible, and I don't think it's possible at least right now. Maybe in several thousand years of evolution, when we have the technology to develop non-sentient meat or something like that, maybe. Right now, though, no. All we can do is just try to be as good to other species as we can.
What is your favorite word? Least favorite word?
Right now, my favorite word... I mentioned before poutine, which is funny, but my friend Raleigh told me that there's a restaurant in Canada called the Poutinery. And I can't say that without laughing. least favorite word... I don't know if I have a least favorite word to say, but I have ones that I hate to type, because I can never spell them right. Words like receive, and, license, and diarrhea. Can never fucking spell them correctly without, without fucking up. So, I believe that's the last of the questions. Robbie, you have anything more to say?
Congratulations, you have just completed this quiz. Have fun, and enjoy your life.
Oh, wait. My mistake. One last question.
Has anyone really been far as decided to use even go want to do look more like?
I already answered this before, but I'll say it again. You gotta be kidding me. I've been further even more decided to use even go need to do look more as anyone can. Can you really be far even as decided half as much to use go wish for that? My guess is that when one really been far even as decided wants to use even go want, it is then that he has really been far even as decided to use even go want to do look more like. It's just common sense. I decided to use Even Go Want to Do Look More Like before it was cool to use Even Go Want to Do Look More Like. I have even really been far even as decided to use Even Go Want to Do Look More Like that I stopped doing Look More Like a long time ago, and now I just use Even Go Want to Do Look More Like with scissors, a box set of Kenan and Kel on DVD, a 4GB SD card, and a frayed Ethernet cable. I hope this has really been far to do more answers for you to Even Go Want. Yes, I stole that from answers.com, but fuck, I really wanted to read that. And that's the end of my question answering thing. I know it was long as fuck, but I hope you enjoyed it. I'll probably do another one in another bunch of months or so. Time enough for you to think of more questions, because it's really fun doing these. Huge thank yous to Robbie for asking all the questions. And I really need to stop because my mouth is dry, I've run out of Dr. Pepper, and I can't talk anymore, and I'm babbling like a fucking retard. So, good night, everyone. I'm Alex Renard, and I don't have a snappy sign-off.